It's time for Chat with a Cat, and it's right here on KPAY Sports 1290. Every Thursday, we interview an instrumental Chico State athlete currently or from the past, a coach, or someone close to the athletic department. And today, we talk with Corey Silverstrom, a vital piece to Chico State's men's basketball success, as Corey had an outstanding four-year career with the Wildcats, winning conference championships, a West Region championship, and had some amazing moments in Wildcat colors. Congratulations, Corey, for a great career and now your professional career. You're joining us today from Armenia. Talk about that.
Yes, first of all, thank you for having me, Baka.
Sure.
I really appreciate it. It's good to hear your voice again.
thank you.
yeah, right now I'm in Armenia. I signed with a team to play in the playoffs during this COVID season. I don't know if people know, but I play for the national team here. So the president of the league wanted me to play and get into shape and prepared for next year and also finalize some business things moving forward for me to be an actual Armenian-American basketball player in Europe. So, yeah, I played in three games in the playoffs. It was kind of a short stint. We got third place, and now I am going to be coming home within probably the next week.
Next week, coming back to the United States. Where have you set up shop? Where are you calling home here on the mainland?
Me and my fiance, I got engaged this last summer.
I saw that on Instagram. Yes, indeed. Congratulations, Corey.
Thank you. we are living in Newport Beach right now. So I train in Irvine, California, but Fresno is always my home. My family's in Fresno, so I go back and forth from Fresno to Newport.
We're going to get into your tremendous Chico State career in a moment, relive some of those amazing moments. But I want to get into how you became a professional basketball player, because I think a lot of people think, oh, if a player goes to Division II, they're not going to be able to play professionally. I'm just looking at all these former Chico State Wildcats, and they are all playing professional basketball. I mean, if it's not you, Amir Caraway, Jordan Semple, Justin Briggs, Jason Conrad for a while, I mean, there are so many out there that – former Wildcats that are making a living and actually playing professionally. Talk about the process once your Chico State career was over and how it turned into a professional career.
Yeah, you know, it starts with the program. Coach Kling does an amazing job of running his program and developing us and getting us ready for a professional career. I think, you know, the way we train, our discipline, our system style of basketball all prepares us for the lifestyle in Europe. And, you know, top nationally ranked Division IIs are no different than mid-major Division I. And I think we showed that a few times when we played Arizona. Even though they're a high-level Division I, we were able to compete. And, you know, if you believe that you could do something, it could happen. And I think, you know, Division II gets overlooked a lot of times, but there's no doubt the talent level's there at the Division II level. And I think there's just, you know, it's just the mentality moving forward. And I think once you reach that level in your mind where you believe you could play at the highest level and you work at it every single day, eventually it's going to happen. It might not be on your timeline, but if you stick with it, it will eventually happen.
How did it happen for you?
I had to go through a hard time. You know, my first year out of college, I played for the Armenian national team. I got an opportunity. I played in one game against Lebanon and did really well. And then I got a tryout with the Clippers G League team, and I did really well there. And then some stuff went on behind the scenes that it was no one's fault. I had an agent at the time that was marketing me as a dual citizen, meaning since I played for the Armenian national team, I should have my Armenian passport. It was not against the rules that I couldn't play in that tournament, cause it was a friendly competition, but, I thought I was going to have my passport. I didn't do it. So I ended up missing out on that whole first year, which was really tough for me mentally, but I just didn't give up on it. I kept working. And then I got an opportunity to play in Denmark the following year. This coach that coached me in Denmark saw me play. He knew me from Fresno. I got an opportunity, and it just kind of happened. And honestly, I don't think I was ready straight out of college mentally. And I think everything happens for a reason. And now that I'm back here in Armenia, in my third year during a COVID season, and you know, kind of going through that first process when I was straight out of college, has been like kind of a sign for me that, you know, I've just been preparing myself and trying to get myself mentally ready for that next level. It's really timing, and I think everyone's journey is different. But I think for me, it's always been an internal battle. And so, you know, I'm just learning to humble myself, and grow in other areas outside of basketball that I think that could get me to that level. So that's really what I'm working on right now.
One of the great attributes that Coach Klink always talked about with you is there were times you would go through a shooting slump. The shot just wasn't dropping, whether it was just, you know, shooters shoot and the shots aren't going in, or shot selection. I remember talking with him a lot about you, and I said, you know, I'm noticing, you know, Corey's struggling a little bit. And he'll say, yep, but he's going to play 25, 30 minutes. I have to have him on the floor. He says he is my most consistent defender. Watch him defend. He goes, he could go 0 for 20, yet he is the guy we lean on defensively to shut down the best player on the other team. And that was basically from your sophomore year on, where he put you on some very difficult players and you rose to the occasion on the defensive end. How much pride did you take in that? And I would, you know, you were talking about how you needed to grow a little bit mentally. I would imagine that that's a big mental challenge too. Shots not dropping, yet you're having to dig in and get it done on the defensive end.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, that's I think that's a huge part of my game, is I've always took pride on guarding the other team's best player, and I've always, you know, there was this hungerness, and there's still a hungerness, but there was always like a feeling that I was an underdog, even in high school and everything, and I always wanted to, you know, prove, and on the defensive end, that's where I was able to do it. I knew what I could do offensively, but in college, really, my mind wasn't, you know, it wasn't at the level. It just, I don't know how to explain it, but mentally in college, my mind was all over the place. I had no control over my mind. I would just kind of just be out there and flow, and if I was focused, I was on. And through my senior year, I was able to get on a lot more, but the defensive end is all effort. Effort and wanting to lock someone up. It doesn't come with, you know, focus in like eight different places. And I think that was something I struggled with sometimes in college, was being able to, you know, fully concentrate and focus on, you know, just the task. And we all know, like, shooting the basketball or, you know, the offensive end, there's a lot of focus involved. And I think, you know, defense, it's effort. There's focus involved, but it's effort at the end of the day.
There were so many moments in your Chico State career. We're talking with Corey Silverstrom, former Chico State Wildcat, member of conference championship teams, and, of course, a member of the 2017 West Region Championship team, the club that went 26-8, and as a sixth seed was able to knock off three higher seeds and win the CCAA, not only the CCAA title, but the NCAA West Region Championship. We're going to get into that amazing run later on in the interview, because I know I really want to talk with Corey about that NCAA run. What were some of the things that you, when you were being recruited by Chico State, and I know there were several schools that were on you, but what was the thing that made Chico State the choice?
Loyalty. They were the team that showed that they wanted me the most. They were on me, sending me letters every week. They consistently kept tabs with me. So I actually had an offer to play Division I at Seattle University, and I got a call like kind of last second. And you know, I always dreamed of playing Division I, but you know, it was just kind of the loyalty factor and the fact that, and then when I went on my visit, it kind of just sealed the deal because I saw the family environment, the community, and also the level of play when I watched practice. I knew it was a high level, and I just kind of fell in love with everything about the school and campus when I went on the visit as well.
Was it an easy choice? Or, you know, I know these a lot of players say, you know, I got these Division I dreams. We've seen some really good players that basically turn down Chico State, go Division I, and sit on the bench for a long, long time, but they got to play Division I. They say, I got to play Division I. I also talk to people like you. I talk to the Jalen McFerrins of the world and other great players that say, yeah, but my experience, I think, was probably better than sitting on the bench for 35 minutes out of a game. Talk about that and how difficult that decision was. I mean, I know Chico wanted you, but when a kid has a dream, they have a dream.
Yeah, and it was hard for me. It was difficult. My AAU coach called me, and he was like, we kind of discussed about it, and he was the one that had the connection at Seattle, but you know, it's something was just nudging me to go with Chico. I don't know what it was, but, you know, looking back on it now, it was the perfect place and I needed it. It was the perfect school for me and for my growth. There's definitely a lot of politics, a lot more politics when you go to the Division I route. There's no difference really from a top Division II to a mid-major Division I besides the label. And, the community and the campus, I'm honestly just so happy I picked Chico because it was the best college experience that I could have asked for. And Division I was a dream, but I'm chasing, you know, my all-time dream right now, and Chico allowed me to do that, which was another sign that I made the right choice.
Corey Silverstrom is joining us, NCAA West Region Championship team from 2017, one of the vital pieces to this incredible run of success the Chico State Wildcats have had. We're going to take a quick break right now. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Corey. We will talk about the magical run of 2017, where the Chico State Wildcats won an NCAA West Region Championship, winning 3 games in 4 days against higher seeds in what was a magical run. You're listening to Chat with a Cat. It's right here on KPAY Sports 1290.
The Big Carl has 2 juicy charbroiled beef patties, melted cheese, and classic sauce. It's what you order from Carl's Jr. when you want a big meal, a big beefy melted cheesy meal. And with 3 juicy charbroiled beef patties, the really Big Carl is back. It's what you order when you want a really big meaty meal, a really big charbroiled beefy meal, a really big beefy melted cheesy juicy tasty. You get the idea. The Big Carl and Really Big Carl at Carl's Jr. Feed your happy. Available for a limited time at participating Carl's Jr. restaurants. Price participation may vary.
We're Chat with a Cat here. Corey Silverstrom, Chico State men's basketball team, joining us here on this Thursday. Thrilled you've joined us. It's brought to you by Carl's Jr. All right, we want to talk 2017 because you were in your third year. You guys had been to the NCAA tournament, but you had been unceremoniously shown the door. San Diego had really gotten over on you. It was a team that was really tough to figure out. But the ingredients for 2017, it seemed to be a great mix, and it seemed to be the chemistry looked good from the periphery. But tell me, was it always like that for 2017? Were there guys that wanted more playing time, and was it really the perfect fit, or did it just get there? And I always say seasons are a journey. Sometimes the journeys are bumpy, and sometimes that helps out when you're wanting to get to that final destination.
Yeah, you know, I don't think there's any such thing as a perfect season. There's definitely bumps in the road, and there's always, I think, on any team where people are wanting to play more. So I definitely think that happened, but overall our chemistry was very, very high level. We all loved each other. We all got along really well, and it was a really special group. Every one of those guys I consider a brother to me, and, you know, on and off the court was just always fun times. It was a really special group, and I truly believe that was one of the main reasons on why we had a success. Chemistry is, you know, probably one of the biggest things in team sport. And I'm honestly grateful that I got to play with those guys.
You really had a good season in 2017. You personally and the squad, you were averaging about 30 minutes a game. You averaged nearly 13 points. You had 56 threes on the season. But the week before, you guys played San Diego in the conference tournament. And you lost by, I think it was 12 or 14 points, but it never really felt like you were in the game. And I got the sense, boy, they were stacked. They were a very good ball club. They were hosting the regional. So you go in to the 2017 regional as a sixth seed, and you're taking on a run-and-gun team in Western Washington. You knew that they were scoring almost 90 a game, but they were giving up almost 80. What were your thoughts? Let's go game one, Western Washington. You guys beat them 96-83. And in fact, they kind of dared you guys to say, hey, we feel we're going to be able to outscore you. And you guys kind of took that as the challenge.
Yeah. And I know you know me in college. Like, I've always been a very confident guy. So whenever I played anybody, it didn't matter if they were number one team in the nation or whatnot. I believed that we were going to win. So even though we were sixth seed, and we were playing them, you know, obviously I had high respect for the team and Coach Klink, and we were dialed in on them. But, you know, it was go time. When the ball's up, you know, I believe our team is the best team. I believed in every single one of my teammates at every position. I believed whoever I was matched up with, whether he was, you know, top five player in the country or whatnot, that, you know, it was going to be hard for him. So I think we just took that mentality and applied it against them. And it was a run-and-gun game, right? It was a high-scoring game.
96-83
against them?
Yeah, 96-83, you guys got the win.
Yeah, so I do remember that. It was just – those are the most fun games to play in. I mean, when you got a whole bunch of just offensive weapons on the court and you're trying to stop one another and, you know, you have wild runs happening, those games are so fun to play in. That was definitely a fun game for sure.
Isaiah Ellis had an amazing regional tournament. I mean, I don't think it's a far cry to say it's the best three-game stretch of any Chico State Wildcat in the biggest of 100%. Moments. I mean, he was for three games, he was the best player on the floor really in all of his games. There might be stints of minutes where other guys took charge, but talk about the role that he was on. It almost felt like you get him the ball and it's money.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, he was locked in. One game, I think he had like 30, was it 38? I don't know.
Yeah.
He had an amazing tournament, and that's my brother. He was my roommate, and we always talked about those moments. So, obviously, without Isaiah, we're not doing what we accomplished. And you know, I made sure to vocalize that, and he was just tremendous. And it was so fun to watch and so fun to play with because he really is one of the greatest people that I've got to know. He's such a good person. So when I see people like that, you know, have success and are helping us win, it's you know, just the best feeling ever.
Game two, you take on the fourth ranked team in the country and the second seed, Hawaii Pacific. And I think there was a lot of talk coming into that regional that, okay, but who have they really played? You know, what kind of conference are they playing? You've seen some of their games, but seeing them in person in their first game, you could see this was a complete team. They had some star quality on that ball club. This was this was one of your finest games in your career. You scored a game-high 17 for the Wildcats. You held their best player, Connor Looney, to 2 of 11 shooting, and you made a huge defensive play at the end. You know, it was one of those games that it seemed in hand, and all of a sudden it started to slip away. I mean, you're up 13, 14 points. They cut it down to one. They have the ball. They have a chance to take the lead. Chico goes cold. And you made a big play. You stayed in front of a quicker point guard for Hawaii Pacific, Jordan Martin. Martin lost control of the ball. You scooped it up for a steal and attacked the paint and went in for a left-hand bucket, drew some harm, and was able to extend the lead. Big game for you, but this is where we saw the great two-way player that Corey Silverstrom was. Talk about that and being in that moment. And I don't know if you remember having the big lead and then seeing it just kind of dissipate. That's kind of a scary moment in such a big game.
Yeah, truthfully, I don't. I vaguely remember the steal. I think I know what you're talking about. But I'm just picturing Coach Klink on the sideline when that lead's going down, and just imagining his reaction. But I do vaguely remember that steal, and I do remember like just the intensity of that game. And I do. Looney was the shooter. That was Hawaii Pacific, right?
Yes, it was.
Making sure I get it right. Yeah, that game was nuts. I can't even put it into words. I wish I had the tape to rewatch it. To my memory's kind of been all fogged up. I can't remember some of these moments, but I definitely remember. Winning the tournament,
yeah.
Or the Elite
Eight. Yeah,
and
we're going there next, because then you play San Diego in the championship. San Diego, the night before, has that crazy game with Cal Baptist where it goes down to the final possession. They end up squeaking it out, so it's Chico and San Diego. And the way you guys had played the first two games, but also the way you had played against San Diego the previous week, did any of that... did any of that doubt sneak in, like, man, we just got trucked by these guys a week ago? Or was it, we're switching up game plan? Because I know the game plan was, you know what, Hansen is not going to get one-on-one looks. We're going to double him. We're going to make someone else beat us. And you guys were able to kind of throw them off kilter a little bit. And you guys came in guns a-blazing. I mean, your offense was clicking to start that championship game. Talk about that.
Yeah, Hansen was always a big key for us. That man was a beast. And he was, and then Clyde was another problem. So definitely we were focused on, I'm pretty sure we doubled Hansen in the post, and we tried to get it out of his hands as much as we could. And Clyde, I was guarding him for most of the game, and I remember he was a left-handed guy, very strong. And crafty around the rim. So it was just a team effort all around on the defensive end against those guys. And they had shooters to surround those guys too. So San Diego is definitely a really good team. And every time we played them, it was a dogfight. And we just had to want it more. I think, if when we're clicking, we have that same firepower too. And I think it's just a mental battle when it comes down to it. Whoever wants it more in that moment, and whoever is more together in that moment is gonna win the game, and that's why they were so tough, because they were also very well coached too. And I believe both Coach Klink and that UC San Diego coach were some of the two top coaches in the league. And you could just tell every time we played that that the game was gonna be a hard one.
I would say the final 10 minutes of the NCAA regional championship game may have been the finest of your career. You scored 19 of your 21 points in the final 10 minutes. You had 5 assists in the game, 5 rebounds, 2 steals, and your lead was really fluctuating between 6 and 2. San Diego couldn't get over the hump. They grabbed an early lead in the second half, but you were hanging on to the lead late, and with under 2 minutes to go, Chico leads 78-77, and there's one about a buck 50 to go in the game, and this is one of the great shots in Chico State Wildcat history. Corey Silverstrom, it's the shot that will live on as Corey Silverstrom and the Chico State Wildcats try to win a regional championship, and this is what it sounded like nearly 4 years ago.
Modest 4-0 run for San Diego, and now Chico has the ball in a big possession to try and go up 3, maybe even 4. Jalen left side, Ellis ball fake to the post, hands off Silverstrom, a 3, top of the key, good! Oh baby, a 3-pointer for Silverstrom, 17 in the game. Chico's lead is 4, 1:45 to go. The shot of Corey's life.
There it is, Corey. The shot of Corey's life.
Oh man.
And your quote after the game was, quote, When I got the ball, I just had this feeling that I wanted to let it go. I didn't think about how far it was. I just knew the time, I knew the score, and how big the shot was. I wanted the moment, so I went for it." End quote. Talk about that shot.
Yeah, that's a moment I'll never forget for sure. That was probably my biggest moment in Chico State basketball history for sure. I just remember coming off, a coach put in a play where I was going to come off a handoff going to my right hand, and I knew I had the defender on my back hip, and I knew I had enough room to get the shot off, and I was feeling it at that moment. So when I came off the screen, I knew I had enough daylight to get it and shoot, and so I just let it fly, and it went in, and the rest was history. But it's definitely a moment that I'll never forget, and I could just see it in my mind right now. And the feeling of that and winning the game was just so special, something I'll never forget and I'll remember for the rest of my life.
We look back on some of these amazing moments, and we look at it must be like a clean look or a look in rhythm. I thought your quote was spectacular. I mean, I love the fact, I got the ball and I had this feeling that I wanted to let it go. I didn't think about how far it was. I just knew the time, the score, and how big the shot was. I wanted the moment, so I went for it. There's a saying, and there is a discussion, and it's a great thing that Greg Klink has. He grades the quality of shots, and he might say, we lost the game, but we had, I was going over the tape. We had 60 to 70% of our shots were A shots. They just didn't go in. I can't be mad about that. So he grades shots in terms of the quality within the flow of the offense, and he gives them a grade of A is the best you can get, B, a very good shot, C is average, C minus D. Sometimes there's Fs in there. He called that one bordering. He said the best grade you could give it is a C. And it was probably more like a C minus D plus in terms of, but it went in. So he says, you forget the grade because it passed.
I had a lot of C to F shots. Coach Klink was always in my ear about that. That was definitely not an A shot, but I just had to take it because it's one of those shots.
One of those shots, and it will live on in Chico State lore. I want to touch upon this, and before we go, and I got a couple more things I want to ask you, but that was the junior year. You guys go to the Elite Eight. It was definitely a winnable game, but you guys just could not translate that San Diego level of play. And honestly, shots just didn't drop when you got to South Dakota, but you were right in that game. There were a couple of plays that, boy, if they went your way, you might have been able to win that game. But talk about the experience, an amazing experience to advance that far.
Yeah, that was an amazing trip. South Dakota was so fun. And when we were there, I remember that game we were playing in, I think it was a G League arena that one of the teams play in or used to play in. I remember the game being really close, and I think going into it, and I just remember that the kind of the overall team feeling, like it was, we knew we were having a difficult time putting the ball on the rim. And, it just wasn't our night. I truly believe that team, though, like, even after we lost that game, I truly believed we were better than that team, and they were a great team. I truly believe that we were, one of the best teams in the country. Like, I truly believe that. It's just unfortunate that that wasn't our night and the ball didn't go in the hoop. But the overall experience, I remember the seniors crying in the locker room after that game, and me crying because those people that left, Rob Duncan and all those seniors at the time.
You also had Michael Bethea. Boy, what a run he had in the postseason. I thought he played really well in the postseason.
He played really well. He was a big piece of our team, and everyone loved him. And so I just remember the kind of the vibe in the locker room after, and just knowing that, that was the seniors' last game. And, we were disappointed because we knew that we could have done more. we knew that we could have gone farther in the tournament, but it just was one of those nights where the ball wasn't going in the hoop, and but it was still just a fun experience going to South Dakota and being able to be with those guys and travel with them and eat at restaurants, and man, the chemistry was great amongst us. So yeah, it was a special group.
I think the expectations going into 2017, 2018 were pretty high for you guys. What was the thing that you thought may have held you guys back? It was a season that I think you probably thought you should have accomplished more. There were a lot of teams in the region that year that had great years, and it's very strange for a team that wins 20 games to not go to the NCAA tournament. But what were your thoughts about the senior season? I'm sure you're all pretty. That probably is kind of a sour point.
Yeah, and it definitely is a sour point, but it's needed. I put a lot of it on my shoulders, and I use it as fuel now in my professional career, and I think it was an area where, there's times where egos got involved, and looking at myself, like, I think sometimes, like, I think my ego took over at times. And, you know, to be the best team, even though we had so much talent, to be the best team, you got to be selfless, and you got to be, you know, that chemistry's got to be next level. We all loved each other off the court and on the court, but there was times where, I think that, you know, specifically, I look at myself in ways that I could get better. I could have been more selfless, and so I use that now because I think that's one of the biggest lessons that I have to learn in life, and is to be humble and release the ego, because I think that's what I bring most to a team. I think through high school and everything, I've always been fortunate enough to be on really close teams, is to unite the collective group and to be a leader amongst the team, to make everyone around me better. And I think that senior year, I could have done a better job of, I was still learning how to be a good leader, and I think sometimes my ego kind of got in the way, and so now I use that in my professional career to be a better leader and unite the team so we win, because when you got a whole team and a collective on the same page, that's when special things happen. And I think, and don't get me wrong, it's not like I had this crazy big ego and I was this worst person, but we still had 20 wins, but you know, I think it prevented us from my standpoint of what I could have done better, from getting to, you know, the 25 win mark and accomplishing, you know, similar stuff that we did our junior year. So
do you still keep in touch with guys from that squad
from
your Chico State experience?
Yeah, I talked to Jalen and Isaiah, and we don't talk all the time, but Jalen just messaged me on Instagram a few days ago, and right now, you know, we're all focused on our goals and dreams, but that connection never goes anywhere. Those people and that family will always have a special place in my heart and always be in my life. I'll always, you know, keep tabs on them, and they, like the Chico State group, I don't even, like, I'm overseas and I'm watching their games, and they don't even know if I'm doing it or not, but I've seen a lot of growth throughout the young guys on the team when I was a senior. After that hard year that happened when I left, they turned it around and had an amazing year, and I just seen the growth out of a lot of those guys, and it's very fun for me to watch, and to answer your question, those guys will always have a special place in my heart, and just like everybody, I'm learning to be a better version of myself, and I'm focused on that, and I'm gonna continue to focus on evolving in that way.
Before I let you go, I want to ask you about the culture of the program. Greg Klink has certainly built something here, and the Wildcats have won a couple of regional championships during his tenure, constantly, I mean, year in and year out, battling for a conference title. And it's really become a staple in the CCAA. Chico State men's basketball is on the map. Head coach Greg Klink, a big reason why. What was it like playing for him?
Tremendous. He was like a father figure away from home for me. He was a guy that teaches you discipline, teaches you good habits, truly loves you as a person. He wants the best for you. He'll keep it real and honest with you. And he has everyone's best interest. There's no favoritism going on. He wants to win at the end of the day. He's a winner. He's a competitive person. But if you need to have a heart-to-heart talk with him, if you need help outside of basketball and just real life, he's there for you. And, you know, to come across a guy like that coaching a program in college basketball is just special. He helped me develop a lot as a person and a player there. So that's why so many people, I believe, play professional basketball from Chico. And there's a lot of success that happens because he helps the overall growth of the human being, not just the basketball player. So that's why he's a special coach.
Corey, we are so thrilled to be able to see your college career. I'm like really lucky because I got to see virtually every game. It was great. It was fantastic. You provided so many great memories. And I'm going to leave you. We'll sign off, but I'm going to let you hear this one more time because I never get sick of this highlight. In fact, on our sports station, we run it as a promo. Listen to this station. You're home for Chico State Athletics. This is the moment. Corey Silverstrom, I know you've only heard this a couple of times, but here it is.
Modest 4-0 run for San Diego. And now Chico has the ball in a big possession to try and go up three, maybe even four. Jalen left side, Ellis. Ellis ball fake to the post. Hands off Silverstrom. A three, top of the key. Good! Oh, baby! A three-pointer for Silverstrom. 17 in the game. Chico's lead is four, 1:45 to go. The shot of Corey's life.
On that note, I think we'll bid you best of luck in your future endeavors. Congratulations on the impending nuptials. And once a cat, always a cat. Corey, thanks for joining us.
Always. Thank you so much, Baca. It was a pleasure hearing your voice again.
The Big Carl has two juicy charbroiled beef patties, melted cheese, and classic sauce. It's what you order from Carl's Jr. when you want a big meal, a big, beefy, melted, cheesy meal. And with three juicy charbroiled beef patties, the really big Carl is back. It's what you order when you want a really big meaty meal, a really big charbroiled beefy meal, a really big beefy melted cheesy juicy tasty. You get the idea. The Big Carl and Really Big Carl at Carl's Jr. Feed your happy. Available for a limited time at participating Carl's Jr. restaurants. Price participation may vary.